with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Stay calm.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Join the afternoon stretch now on the Cure Hotline. 615-844-5600. Now here's Bruno and Zach.
O'clock here in the Music City, so you know what time it is. Time for the afternoon stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams, as it's a full cast of characters today here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. If you want to get involved, Cure Hotline wide open, 615-844-5600. Let me go ahead and break the news early here. We're talking Titans all show today because Bruno Reagan, it is Titans game day.
Game day. Wow. Who's excited?
Everyone.
A big rivalry with the Ravens, right? They're all going to take this game super serious, right?
Hey, no. Well, maybe.
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Ray Dosky, how are you doing today?
I'm pumped, man. I'm excited. This game counts, right?
This game counts.
Yes.
In our hearts.
Yes.
That's where it counts. But you know what? It doesn't matter because it's still a game day. And I know Titans fans are out there, and that's what they want to hear about. That's what we're talking about today.
Yep.
We're talking Titans. That's going to be the premise of today's show. Okay, there's no, you know, I don't want to hear this whole, I'm tired of hearing about Titans. Today is the day you get Titans. You're going to get a heavy dose of Titan football talk today. So Jeff and the Burrows or whoever wants to call in and say, you're not talking enough about college basketball predictions or whatever. Jump ship. Change stations. Happy to do it. Happy to tell you to go do it because we're talking Titans today.
We wait 6 months for this.
It's back. Football's officially back, and especially here in Nashville, the Titans get to kick off against the Baltimore Ravens. Before we jump into that, though, I do want to talk about Hard Knocks. Did you finally watch Hard Knocks?
I definitely did watch
it. You got to watch it?
I am a fan.
Didn't watch it. There's no shot he watched it.
Why would you think that?
I'm just... history? I don't know. There's a lot of different things.
Did you see the over-under?
What does that mean? No, let's unravel this cookie.
Why? You don't watch anything.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay. What were you going to say?
Did you see the over-under for the Detroit Lions in terms of wins this year? Six and a half?
6.5 is where it's at.
Would you take the would you take the over?
Under.
Based off of what you know, Zach, you saw Hard Knocks, yes?
Yeah, I saw Hard
Based
Knocks.
Based off of watching Hard Knocks, would you take the over now?
I am, without a doubt, after watching Hard Knocks, taking the under. Look, everybody gets hyped up about the Hard Knocks and, you know, whatever team's in it, they're like, yeah, baby, that coach is a coach. You know, this guy's a football guy, blah, blah, blah. They all are.
Yeah.
Is that true, Bruno? Can I brush with a broad
yes.
brush
well,
here?
Football guy comes in many different shapes and sizes. Dan Campbell is like your movie football guy, right? He's like, yeah, we'll drag you to deep water and we'll drown you. Bill Belichick is like, okay, I'll work 23 hours, take the soul out of my players, and we'll sacrifice people to the demons of Dante's Inferno to win. You know, everyone's a football guy. You don't get to that level without being. So, this happens every time. I'm glad. You definitely should take Lions under 6.5.
So, would you say Campbell's a 2.0? Is he a Vrabel 2.0?
See, and that discussion
no!
has been going
Wait,
all
what
over
is that
the
even,
place.
What does that even mean?
A player's coach. He
players
the game.
Coach. Dude.
Vrabel is not like a nice guy to his players at all in any stretch of the imagination. When he's out there, he's not cracking these nuts jokes. He's dogging on you.
He's involved in drills and stuff, is he not?
Well,
much
he's
like
involved. Yeah, well, okay, so what you're talking about is so on Hard Knocks, Dan Campbell is doing up downs with the team. Right, so it's a long time of it. I mean, he's out there doing up downs with the NFL team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Only that mattered. Any stretch of the imagination, it's cool.
Campbell's a former player. Obviously, they go in through the whole history of Campbell, and I know there's the other things out there like Jamal Williams crying. You know, during the breakdown,
I thought he was Exhibit when I first saw him. He looked just like Exhibit.
he does kind of look
looks like Exhibit.
Like,
yeah, what's he doing with Lions?
That's a good point. But it's this I get it. It's still the Detroit Lions. If they get 5 wins this year or 6 wins, that's great.
It's an improvement.
It's a huge improvement.
Yeah, it's a huge improvement.
But I mean, this whole I watched Hard Knocks and now it's like I'm jacked up. Look, any team comes on there and they feel like they're going to be this next team of destiny, I feel like.
Ray did tell me who the in-season team is. Do you know?
No, I don't.
A really good one.
Who is it?
It came right after Hard Knocks.
Oh, really? The Cardinals?
That's going to be a good one.
Right at the end of Hard Knocks, they showed a clip.
I missed the last five minutes of it because I walked out because I honestly got bored. I'm not going to lie.
They showed a clip. they showed a clip of DeAndre Hopkins like rehabbing, and then right below, in season, Arizona Cardinals.
Dun-dun-dun. Will Kyler Murray be shown reading?
You got to watch the end of Hard Knocks, too. I forgot which one it was when Case Keenum was a backup, but I remember... They just were doing so much funny stuff in the last, like the
Browns.
Blooper reel for the last 3 minutes. Like when he walked out to practice with no pants and it was just showing his bare butt. Like, just wild. I was like, that is the funniest thing I've seen all day. So you got to watch those last 3 minutes.
I dipped out there for a second on the last few minutes of it.
Did you see Casey Keenum's latest clip? He goes in his band of Buffalo Bills.
That was a really
He's got a hat and glasses on. He's trying to ask for autographs.
Hey, man, I'm your best fan. Which he was doing the fan thing, which is like he tells every player that he's their favorite. He's like, I'm your number one fan. Please sign my stuff.
There
were a few guys he got.
They didn't react. They didn't recognize
him. The security guy was all over him. He's like, you need to go back.
The security guy was, he was common security guy case, which, fair enough. It's his job.
Yeah. Titans ever going to be on Hard Knocks?
It'd be nice if they were.
Just feels like they're never going to be.
They should.
They should have signed AJ Brown. They should have signed Antonio Brown, and they would have been like right on the top of the list. Dude.
Antonio Brown was on the Oakland one. It sucked.
No, when Antonio Brown was there, it was great.
Yeah,
that was great. Yeah, because they had a whole separate crew that just followed Antonio Brown around. They're like, he's like, I burned my feet.
Yeah. You know? And you're literally, like, what?
With ice
in France.
That was a tremendous one. That was a tremendous one. But then once Antonio Brown was gone, then it was like, who cares anymore?
Yeah, they were recording Derek Carr, and he was like, what do you do for fun to his teammates?
not much. I watched it. I'm not going to lie. I got bored halfway through it. I really did. I was just there's no storyline there that's grabbing me with the Lions or, you know, that's like, I hope they do well, but I'm not going to sit there and say I'm a Lions fan now. I'm not. Dan Campbell was...
emotional.
I mean, he talked like a guy who played high level football, and now coaches high level football. You know, that's just kind of what it seemed like. I mean, the one thing I noticed is when he broke out full pads and full contact, like week one of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting to see when you still see the Titans coming out and
he touched on
that
too.
Isn't that like illegal?
No.
I guess not.
No, I mean, he said it. He was like, look, I know a couple of y'all are looking at me crazy that we're in full contact right now, but...
You got to trust me.
Yeah, just trust me, is what he's saying. And that lasts for the first 2 years. And then that third year, if you do it again, you're still sucking. You know, the trust is completely out the door. But, yeah, so I finally saw it. It was, you know, it was fun. It was...
He's not the only former player on that coaching staff. So it seems like the entire coaching staff are
Deuce
former
Staley's
players.
Deuce Staley's on that. Brunel, Aaron Glenn, Mark Brunell.
Antoine Randall. Aaron Glenn, who I hear is a strong candidate next year for even this year for head coaching positions.
The lineman guy that I don't remember his name, he's also a part of it. So, yeah, I mean, look, this is just, it can just easily, you can easily get sucked in to go. Yeah, you're a Lions fan.
Because I'm a Hard Knocks fan.
So, but you're taking, like, you're so
I
much.
I think you're just a consumer.
Well, kind of. You're putting.
I am of the people. Yeah. I am of the people. We've talked about this, right?
But now you're putting your hard-earned American greenbacks into the over of Detroit Lions just because you watched one episode of Hard Knocks.
I think so.
See?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous precedent, my friend.
My fan.
fan, also. Big fan, Ray Dosky.
I can't wait till week 17. They've won seven games.
They're in the Super Bowl.
No.
Which happens first? Vandy gets three wins or Detroit Lions get eight wins?
Vandy, probably.
Oh, that's a great prop bet right there.
That's
a good one.
Vandy. Eight wins, the NFL's hard, man.
It's super hard.
Vandy might get four wins now that Wake Forest's quarterback's out.
Vandy might get seven.
I mean, Vandy.
They could go 12-0.
The stars are aligned, my friends.
Exactly. Tonight, we have Tennessee Titans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Look, if you're a Titans fan, jump in. 615-844-5600, the Cure Hotline, wide open. I want to know who you're looking for, what you're looking for, what you're excited about, all that kind of stuff about tonight's game.
Odds, predict odds, over-unders, money odds. Lines,
let's not forget about
preseason betting.
Let's not forget about the odds.
Are we doing a Bruno's bets today?
No.
We got two games on.
Two games, and one of them's the Titans, and you're not going to throw a Bruno's bet tonight?
I've lost every single bet where we're like, that's stupid, I lose. So let's wait until it counts.
We'll do one that's smart.
No.
Just do a straight. Don't
Titans
do
are 4-point underdogs on the spread.
Well, so that's something that we can start off talking about. The Ravens have not lost a preseason in 20 years.
They're due.
20 years.
They're due.
I think it's 20 years. I have to go back and look and see exactly. I saw a tweet about it, but yeah, they have not lost a I believe opening season pregame matchup.
20 game winning streak.
20 game. That's what it is. I said 20 years. But I guess that would be.
We have 2 hours to give.
They've also gone 12-1 against the spread in the last 13 preseason openers.
We've got 2 hours, Zach. 2 hours to convince Bruno to put some action on this, on the FanDuel.
Listen, you don't have to convince me. I'll end up doing it, right? But let's just have a conversation first.
You're just already sucked in. You're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll do it. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
He opened the front door. Now.
And did you also, like, we'll get right back on it, I swear. I have to see. Did you see someone one-upped my bet on Vandy? And it's, like, making the rounds of Vandy Twitter?
No.
Like, sportsbooks are tweeting about this guy who put in a 5K bet on Vandy over 2 wins. And I was like, why did they tweet about me? I did it. You know, someone one-upped me on my bet.
We need
to find out who it is.
We should have done 10K.
Yeah, I know. Whatever.
That'd be set to win $20,000.
$2,500.
$2,450,000. No, I'm talking about if we did 10K,
though. Oh, $24,500. That's what it would have won.
I mean, just a little chunk of change. Not a lot. As some people, it's a lot of money, I guess. But not to Bruno Reagan. Net worth of $1 to $5 million.
When I say that, I was like, I just had the biggest smile.
You're so positive in that. Like, this is great. On the same thing, it says Bruno Reagan's 6'3", 180 pounds or something like that.
No, that's a different picture.
Oh, is that a different one? Yeah, it says you're a wide receiver?
Yeah, that was me on the Vandy roster for a little bit.
I wish you were a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Just run one route. Just one time. Could Mason not? I mean, y'all are already losing. Just throw Bruno Reagan out there tight end. Just let him run one time, you know? So let's talk about Titans. Let's talk about the Titans side of things.
We'll get to see Malik Willis tonight.
Malik Willis?
Real game time.
Yes.
This is real reps.
Let me ask you, as a player, because that's your mindset still in on this show, is like the current player, not a former player, a current player.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, still on a roster. When you get games like this, the USFL didn't have any preseason, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so it was just kind of show up and have your first game. But when you get to these preseason matchups.
We would do scrimmages. We're basically preseason games.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We'd play the generals.
So when you get to those, what is the mindset of the guys on the field for that day?
For me?
Well, for you and who you saw around you as well. Like guys like Jordan Te'amu, who you would say is probably your prototypical mind in the
Jordan,
NFL.
Jordan, yeah. Well, when you're the quarterback, you have a more... And Jordan was our starter, get that right. But we were still going to the unknown. So Jordan's mindset, it's not hard to find motives for these kind of... Jordan's mindset... In that set, which you could put onto like a round 10, it's just you're the leader of the team. So his job is to try and keep the team organized, you know, just get the play calls right, get everyone lined up right. That's number one. But Malik Willis is going to be playing a lot. Logan Woodside might play
yeah, a bit he's going to get in.
So they're different. They're still trying to show stuff. You know, Logan Woodside's competing to keep the two spot, basically. Right. So they have a more competitive mindset going into today than we did even doing those scrimmages. It's bad asking me. Every player is different. I was like, I'm just trying to see if I can play four quarters.
Yeah. You know? Trying to see if I won't keel over right here on the field.
And it's the same with these guys. They're just saying, can I play at the NFL level for four quarters? Because preseason games still aren't the NFL level. When you get onto those games, it really does go up that much. But when you're an elite athlete this much, this little inch right here that I'm showing the camera makes all the difference.
Right.
So it's just about, you know, seeing what kind of shape your team's in. And it's not the end-all be-all, but you still are really – these are super competitive dudes. So to say they don't care is not true. They care. They care the result of the game tonight.
Well,
and how they do.
The names that we just said, Malik Willis, Logan Woods, these are guys who are going to be on the team.
Yes.
You know, I would say they're pretty much stacked to where they're going to be. You know they're going to play – Titans are going to take three quarterbacks this year, and that's going to be a consistent. We know that this season. What is the part that we don't know and where we assume Vrabel and that coaching staff is going to be looking is a lot of the hedge guys. You know, a lot of these guys who are camp guys currently right now.
Well, game one and two, actually, no. Game one and two is about getting these guys, the Treylon Burks, the reps, the guys who are the middle pack right now. Well, Treylon Burks will eventually be top-tier Titan just by inertia. He's going to move up to that point, being a first-round draft pick. But game one and two are about getting him the reps. getting him the reps. Who else is, you know, kind of on this? Say Caleb Farley. I would expect Caleb Farley to play a lot. He's only played since 2019 about
quarterback
or so
for
snaps.
The Titans.
Yes.
That first we all know I know his name.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, he's played 90 snaps since about 2019, coming off the ACL injury. They're going to get him a lot of reps game 1 and 2. They'll rest in game 3 and 4, and those will be the fringe guys. The fringe guys will play tonight, but it's not their night. The Titans want to see what Malik Willis can do, what Caleb Farley can do, what Treylon Burks can do. Those are the first two preseason games.
Well, and a lot of this, we know Derrick Henry's not going to be playing either. That's one. Yeah, I know. Well, we had that discussion yesterday. But that's another piece, is trying to figure out not only who that backup quarterback is, but who's that backup running back. You know, you go back to last season, you know that year was just piecing the running backs together and trying to figure out. And you hit, you know, Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard. You know, you had a big hit right then that helped you, and you were like, oh, wow, this was just out of the blue.
It took some troubleshooting, like the Adrian Peterson reps, you know. It took some time to figure it out.
And now, you know, we're going to be seeing guys like, once again, Hilliard. That's going to be someone who's been at camp. We've seen, he's been playing with the ones when, you know, in that Derrick Henry role, if you will, during the team practice or the team periods and things like that. But Jordan Wilkins, Hassan Haskins, of course, Haskins coming in as the rookie this year from Michigan. That's another guy who's going to be a huge piece. There's a lot of storylines here that the Titans have to fix out on their depth, figuring out their depth. And, you know, you look at like the wide receiver position right now for the Tennessee Titans. That is essentially all depth. There's no one spot. I mean, Robert Woods is the only one you could say confidently that you're like, Robert Woods, for sure, starting wide receiver for the Titans. The rest of it, right now, we could take the hype train off, take all that, Treylon Burks, all that. It's still an open race for Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, still open race for Racy McMath, Des Fitzpatrick.
I would say Westbrook-Ikhina probably is the solidified two right now too, but that's the only guarantee I'll give you on that entire
position. He might be, but I definitely feel like it's still just not there. I feel like he's got more to prove.
He doesn't have the name power for you.
It's just what I've seen at training camp too.
Yeah,
you know, I think he's been credited
he's not that much better than the 4 and the 5 on the roster.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, what I'm seeing out there, and guys like Josh Malone.
Yeah.
A lot of people are down on Josh Malone for some reason. When I see him out there, I see him making catches.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
You can be high on everybody, but some are going to be higher than most, and no matter how high you are on this guy, if there's someone higher than him, cut!
Yeah.
You know, that's the nature of the business, baby. These guys are playing for their jobs.
Yeah. Kyle Phillips, that's another one. Another dog on the wide receiver side.
People dog on preseason games, and I get why, but sometimes there's a lot more stakes in preseason games than there are in these regular season games, especially later season regular season games. A lot of the times the football fandom kind of calms down, you know, week 12 through 17, 18, but... And then some players like the Giants, they're just going through inertia. But these guys are playing for jobs tonight. So yeah. The level of play is going to be, you know, there's something to be earned out there, which I always appreciate when it comes to the preseason.
This, what you're saying is absolutely true. And I think you look at the Titans last year going into the preseason, it was not like this.
Everyone was solidified. It was,
yes.
It was a, they
and
had
everyone
like,
was injured.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Julio Jones, we're AJ Brown. That's what you were dealing with last year, where you didn't have at least for the offense, you did not have a congruent group of guys that were like, okay, we're going to see this battle. This year, there is open competition almost everywhere on this team.
Yep.
And that could be a scary thought. It could be a scary thought, though.
As a fan, I don't mind it because it makes these preseason games interesting for me to watch.
Yeah.
My fandom is not overall concerned with the Titans' win-loss records. Super Bowl. I just like following the storylines. And part of the storylines, when everyone's injured, there's nothing to play for in the preseason. 35 out of the 53 spots were already taken. There wasn't a lot of competition going on last year. Now they have legit competition, and it's not just for jobs. It's people trying to earn spots on the depth chart. You know, people want to be twos, ones, not threes and fours and fives, because that's how you eventually earn your bigger contracts and stay in the league. So there's something to be played for with the Titans this preseason. That interests me as a fan.
Yeah. We need to run to a break. When we come back, we're going to go around the room, give our top three people that we're watching out for the Titans tonight, and we want you to jump in and do the same. The Cure Hotline, 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you. Jump in back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. On the scene of a crash, 40 eastbound of mile marker number 215. That's going to be right there at the Briley Parkway interchange. That has traffic slow. Just trying to make your way out past the airport towards Mount Juliet. Also, still on the scene of that crash, 24 eastbound at mile marker number 62. That's going to be Old Hickory Boulevard in the Antioch area. And remember, there is a crash that is slowing traffic up at mile marker number 71 along 24 eastbound. So be aware of that if you're headed towards Chattanooga. Prince's Hot Chicken is now hiring at both locations. Catering services available for all occasions. Order online, princeshotchicken.com. Charlie Sonnier on Time Traffic.
Are you tired of your current vehicle? Maybe looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle? Hey guys, it's Zach. Hayes Nissan of Rivergate is the best choice for your vehicle needs. Located at 1550 Galton Pike North in Madison, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate has been serving the Middle Tennessee community for over three decades. That gives you confidence that Hayes Nissan of Rivergate can find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff will make sure you are taken care of. I should know because I've seen it firsthand. Every vehicle I've purchased has been from Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, and I love the entire process. Now, I don't want you to forget about their award-winning parts and service department. It has everything you need to get you back on the road. Go visit them on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. They're open there 24/7, 365 days a year. Or give them a call at 615-865-7220. Again, that number is 615-865-7220. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. For this afternoon, there's a chance of a scattered thunderstorm with a partly sunny sky, high upper 80s, light northerly winds. Partly cloudy tonight, low 69, sunny tomorrow Friday, high 87. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The Afternoon Stretch. The best show. I don't know if I can say that, man. I'm going to move on to the next one.
Welcome back. The Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. Bruno's got his energy going now with his energy drink, so it's it's about to take a whole step up, baby.
No.
No?
You.
Kind of even out.
Well, I'm out of spite, guy. So now that you've said that, I'm going to just control my everything I do just to spite your claiming of me.
Yeah, so you're just not even going to be involved at all. That's the real – it's actually going to take a step down, a real step backwards. We talked about it coming into – or going into the break there, but now I want to go through and look at the three Titans that we're all looking for right now. We're going to go out of the room. If you want to jump in, the Cure Hotline's wide open, or you can leave a comment there.
Can we just
on your Twitter, Facebook,
Burks? Sorry to cut you off.
YouTube, Nash Sports Radio on all those video platforms. Shut up and what, Bruno?
The three Titans. Well, Treylon Burks is going to be on all of our lists, so let's just get that one out of the way.
That could be one that we just take off. Everybody wants to talk Treylon Burks. Yeah. We all want to see what's going to happen with Treylon Burks. We all want to see with Malik Willis. That's another one. What's going to happen there? Because that storyline has been just crazy, but not as crazy, at least with, you know. Which, by the way, did you see the national media people saying still talking about the training camp situation with Tannehill and Malik Willis saying he's not going to mentor him? That's still going on.
I know.
Can you believe how boring that is?
Yeah, that's why I don't even like acknowledging that stuff, because it's
stupid.
Such a known story.
Golly.
So I'll start off.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Probably, I don't even really care how he plays. I just care how much they're going to play him. So I have two assert. When it comes to Caleb Farley, I want to see how much he plays. Because if he plays a series or two series and then he's done already, that tells me he's performed well enough in practice that they're like, you're going to be the guy. You don't even need reps.
Yeah.
Because I really do trust the Titans coaches when it comes to these kind of decisions. It seems like, I mean, obviously every coach hangs out with their players and watches film with them. But the Titans coaches, I think, have earned the right when it comes to in-season player evaluations.
So right.
If Caleb Farley plays one to two series and that's it for a guy that's only played 90-ish or so snaps since 2019, that shows me that they believe he's going to be a playmaker and ready to go for the season. If he starts playing, you know, a quarter or two, I think you don't have to look into it too much, but there is a conspiracy that maybe they just want him to improve a little more against different competition, or it's just he hasn't played that much and he needs more reps. It's one of those two things. But I'm interested to see how many reps he gets just so I can get an, because he's one of the biggest question marks, I feel like. You know, especially playing a position like defensive back, it's so hard to evaluate. Defensive back and offensive lineman are like two sides of the same coin. You know, mm-hmm. It's very hard to evaluate. Sometimes how long you are, how much you weigh, how fast you are, it really doesn't matter. Can you play well?
Yeah.
Caleb Farley is going to get a chance to prove that tonight. So that's probably my one. And then second is probably Kyle Phillips. I'm just thirsty for the Titans to get a saucy white guy.
You've wanted a saucy white guy to be in the two-tone blue.
Yes. Have the Titans ever had a saucy white guy?
Drew Bennett.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know Drew Bennett? Hold on now. Well,
hey.
You don't know who Drew Bennett is?
Zach, how long ago was Drew Bennett playing?
We were children, but yeah.
No, yeah.
2007, 2006?
Yeah, I didn't care about football.
Billy Volek? That name not ring a bell?
I didn't play football until my sophomore year of high school.
I did not care. I didn't play football ever. I still knew these guys.
I did not care. We do not care.
Well, Drew Bennett.
I'm like a recent fan of football.
Who's the guy that came from, Eric Decker. That's another one, yes. Which a lot of people are still mad at that guy. So, yeah. You know.
So anyways, Kyle Phillips, I want to see a saucy white. I've heard raving. I didn't see much because I wasn't watching the wide receivers, but you've been talking Kyle Phillips.
Yeah.
How everyone in the wide receiver group is doing good, but he's standing out.
Yeah.
I would like to see him stand out a preseason game. And then we could have a coronation ceremony for him. Like we could buy like a toy crown and crown Kyle Phillips, the saucy white, Tennessee's first saucy white guy.
Yeah.
First of his name.
Make a crown out of sauce.
That, see?
You like hot sauce and great barbecue idea. Sauce. Yeah. No, so this actually could work.
So on top of the already the Treylon Burks that I've talked about, those are the other two guys that I would say.
Ray?
Well, he did take one of my guys at Kyle Phillips. Yeah, I mean.
Well, you could expand on him.
I just want to say whatever else.
Because we could say that, you know, the roster spots, they're up for grabs outside of Woods and Nick Westbrook Akina. I mean, they want to see Wood. And if you look at Kyle, he's been pretty much a darling this entire, training camp?
Yep.
Two other positions I'm looking at, and I want to talk about Malik, but I think I'm going to defer that one to you because I think that's a guy you guys.
I'm leaving Malik off, Mike.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's understood. Everybody, Treylon and Malik, everybody wants to see those two.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, those are the understoods.
And that was one of the ones, honestly, is the O-line.
I think you're going where I'm going now.
You got right tackle and you got left guard.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up left guard. Aaron Brewer.
Who's got the inside track right now?
I'm waiting to withhold my judgment because I don't want to be too critical of a guy when I haven't seen too much of him. I did look up Aaron Brewer clips trying to see, and I watched probably 12. And I don't want to judge or be harsh. I want to be fair to the guy.
Yeah.
So I'll wait to see it with my own eyes tonight. I am interested.
So he's on your list then?
But not nearly as much as. I don't care as much as saucy white guy.
Well, Treylon can't go on your list anyway. Yeah. That's just understood. So you had two, so we'll just say.
I'll let you talk for Aaron Brewer for me.
Yeah.
It's I have such a. I don't want to be a guy that talks about other O linemen.
You know it better than anyone in this room.
That's why when I watch it for a whole game, I'll have a lot to say about it.
You also might know it better than anyone in Nashville.
Yeah, I know. When I see it for a whole game, I can give him a fair raving review. I don't feel like I have enough to give him a fair review. I'm already a little under on Aaron Brewer because he is short.
You said that right at camp. You're like, this guy is small.
Yes, he's super small. And that's not good, but it's also not always bad. Hey, I come from judo and martial arts where DC is one of the best of all time. Dude's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Football's a little different, but to say he's not 6'3", he can't play, is still, it is unfair.
Yeah.
So I'm going to withhold judgment until I see him play a full game with my own eyes instead of judging him on clips.
Ray, it was your turn. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, he makes a good point. Yeah, I mean, I want to see what he looks like. You, and you'll be able to expand on that. But Jamarco Jones, he's raised his level of play this last 2 weeks in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Renews, who
he also fought.
Yes. At right tackle. But when you look at Frey, who came out of USC, now, I believe Renews, am I saying his last name right?
Who are you saying? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Radner's the guy who's the...
Raidens.
Raidens. I'm so bad. I apologize.
No, you're good.
He's pretty much had the bulk of like first snaps right now. But there's that competition there because I think offensive line is a big question mark going into the season. And outside of all the rookies, the one I'm looking back is last year's, which feels like an additional rookie pick in Rashad Weaver.
Yeah.
Who flashed last year. I feel like the Titans are going to rely a lot on this defense as the offense tries to kind of figure things out as the season goes. That I think Rashad Weaver, who flashed last year at inside outside linebacker, see how he looks.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about seeing him as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the linebackers right now for the Titans, and how can you not like what they have already? And building that depth is just going to be huge. And Weaver's a big guy, but you look at the starters right now. Right, this is the starters: Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, David Long, Zach Cunningham. Those guys. That is star-studded right now.
Titans
is what
defense
that has.
Is like, at least when I was growing up around college time, like 6 or 7 years ago, I feel like Titans defense lacked name power. Now they have a lot of it.
So. Yeah. So Aaron Brewer is one of mine. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested. Really, I say Aaron Brewer, I mean the left guard spot. I just want to see how that offensive line goes because once again, it's the Tennessee Titans live and die by the run. And Derrick Henry's a monster. It doesn't matter how much of a monster you are, though. If there's constant holes that are coming through and constant pressure coming in, multiple people trying to tackle you, Derrick Henry's not going to blow by an entire front line. It's just not going
to
happen.
Derrick Henry's strength is getting to the second level, third level.
Exactly.
When it's at the second level, third level. But if you let the second level creep up into the line of scrimmage and hit him there, he's not going to break away. Derrick Henry has great breakaway at this around the linebacker secondary spot. That's where he doesn't break tackles at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that's where he
no
excels.
One can.
Yeah, that's where he sells.
And then Racy McMath is another one because we already mentioned Kyle Phillips. Racy McMath, another guy that they the way you hear this coaching staff talk about Racy McMath is this guy bring and Tannehill for that matter too. This guy brings another element to the field, the size and the strength, along with what he can do down the field speed wise. He has a lot of speed. He's a huge guy. If he can just get consistent with catching footballs, he has just as much of a chance to be wide receiver two as Treylon Burks in my eyes. Now there's still some question marks there, but we're gonna see if he takes a bigger step up this year. And then I already talked about Aaron Brewer, Kyle Phillips. We already mentioned that as well. Next one is Roger McCreary over there at the cornerback spot because right now it's that the cornerbacks look the secondary for the Titans are young. Take away Kevin Byard, you're looking at a really young secondary. And Roger McCreary is a guy who they're going to have to need and use and has been used. He's been running with the ones. And you talk about if there's a big play breakup, if you start looking over and you see the defense going crazy on the sideline because of some play making happen, it's because it's Roger McCreary doing whatever he's doing. That team is starting to surround him. If you're seeing it at training camp, he is somebody that they are looking at and saying, like, this is a guy who's going to be a stud for this defense. And will it be right away? Who knows? But that's somebody I want to see right now. What he can do for the Titans right away tonight. Tonight, I want to see what happens on that because there's a lot of questions there about that secondary, and I think they're fair. Like Caleb Farley, you look at him, we're going to say it's essentially a rookie year for him.
Yeah.
It's essentially exactly. Rookie year. Christian Fulton, he's the leader in the clubhouse of those cornerbacks on that outside. That's who you're going to have out there. So there's still plenty of opportunity here, just like on the wide receiver side for the Titans on their secondary. So I'm really interested in that today. I'm really interested to see how that goes. Now, once again, though, you do have to take a little bit of a barometer here and kind of say, okay, what day? It's day one. Are there going to be mistakes? Absolutely. Are there going to be lapses? Absolutely. And nobody. I mean, are we going to see any of these guys come out and blow us away on what they did in week one of the preseason? No, they're not changing their outlook right away. They can make a big difference, obviously, if they're just showing up. Now, that's something else I wanted to ask you, Bruno, is when you look at what we're talking about right now, we're looking at these top guys, I imagine there's some whiteboard on John Robinson's desk that just has some of these names probably on it, and they're circled, and there's an arrow pointing at some of them, and they're just a weird cryptic message of these names.
Yeah, you've seen that meme where the guy is like, it's the background, it's the board, and it's just, you know, he's trying to solve the puzzle.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
John Robinson has that. How much is it, like, what are the factors of game one of a preseason that a front staff and coaches have can look at and say, okay, this is what we can take away? Maybe the catch was made, but we saw this.
Game one, and great question. Game one and two are about seeing what. So there's about 30 to 35-ish, maybe even 40 roster spots every single camp that are already taken. They are not for competition. Treylon Burks is not getting cut.
Right.
You know, Robert Woods not getting cut. Derek Hunter not getting cut. Ryan Tannehill not getting cut. You could probably scratch up 35 to 40. This is about getting those last 10 to 15 who they are not, they're on the not getting cut list, but you need to see for the long term what they can do and for the season. And this is also for probably about game one and two are for the next 5 to 10 who you're going to put in that not cut list.
Yeah.
Like if Kyle Phillips goes out there and has a crazy game and we're all like, wow, he might get transferred from trying to make the team to the not cut list. And then game three and four are about 30, 40 guys competing for those last five spots.
Is it play results, though? Or is it more or less like, how did you do your individual job inside
individual
of that
job.
Play?
They'll watch the film. If Kyle Phillips goes out there and doesn't catch a single pass, but we're watching him out there, and you can tell on the route, on the break, he creates space. You can tell there's an opening. Maybe Malik Willis overthrows him, or maybe Malik Willis is trying too hard with his legs, rolls out, and he misses him. We can still tell, as people who are going to watch it critically, watching these specific players and how they're performing for their job, we're going to be able to tell he can play at this level, and I think they like it. Because we know from camp, a guy like Kyle Phillips, he has an edge right now. I think everyone likes him.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's performed really well. He's trending towards that. So if he just shows the right things, basically doesn't line up wrong, doesn't, you know, it's his job to lose, kind of, at the back end of the roster.
That's the wide receiver side. When you look at, like, the Aaron Brewer, JaMarco, or, you know, the offensive line side.
Those decisions are getting made these next two games. This game specifically.
What are the jobs that they're looking for on that?
Aaron Brewer, example. When you go into a pass pro, there's two sides of a pass pro. A man side and a slide side. How does he match up with NFL talent on the man side, which is one-on-one? You're not going to get help. And does he do the right things on the slide side? When you're on the slide side, for example, if there's a three technique, I'm the left guard, and there's a guy right here, all right? Can I block him and know that my help's on the inside so I can overset him a bit? But do I have good enough eyes to where if that linebacker triggers the A, I know I have him one-on-one? If this guy spikes the A, I can't leave my center on the island. I got to give him a little bit of a hand, but I have to have great eye discipline. So while I'm giving them that hand, I'm looking out to help Taylor, my tackle. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for those little subtle things. That's why I want a whole game to be able to watch Aaron Brewer and say, this guy can do it or he can't do it. Because it's so much more than just, oh, he drove a guy 5 yards off the line. That's great. Can you consistently play with your responsibilities like it's second nature to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're looking for. And this game one is going to decide whether game one and game two are going to decide whether Aaron Brewer can do it or not. If he messes up in these games, they're going to start looking for other people. And that's what game three and four will be. The replacement for him.
Yeah. There you go. That's a tremendous breakdown right there. Trying to get in the player's mind. That's I think, also what Robin's trying to do tonight. You know, what is this guy Titan material? Because, look, they've created a hard and fast team.
Oh, and they're going to run the ball downfield. That's something unique that they do that a lot of NFL teams really don't do. That's why they go for small linemen. They want to see if you can will it to happen, too. They're trying to check your spirit, your soul.
Yeah.
That's unique. I like that.
So let me ask you this. What about health? Where would you rank that? Like, coming away with no injuries.
Well, I mean, that's huge.
That's absolutely huge.
That's on the list as well, would you say?
That's the craziest thing with the preseason. Like, me and Zach had the argument about Derrick Henry, and, you know, it's just 12 reps, you know, but he plays so much better when he gets time in. But it's like, what if one of those 12 reps are the rep where he gets hurt, you know? I think with these, that's why, you know, the starter's out. Robert Woods isn't going to play, although he's already injured, but he wouldn't play anyways. This is about Treylon Burks, Malik Will, and if they do get hurt, the reason Treylon Burks can play this is because, you know, his over-under for yardage is like 700.
Yeah.
So that's production you can find elsewhere in the free agency market, but you need to test your young talent. You need to test them.
Yeah. All right, we need to run to a break. We want to hear what players you are wanting to see from. What are you trying to see tonight from the Titans on the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. Or, you know, hey, it'd just be nice to see the Titans beat them and end that streak they have going on, right?
That'd Baltimore.
Be Baltimore, as Bruno would say. Jump in. The Cure Hotline wide open, 615-844-5600. Back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. On the scene of a crash, Interstate 40 eastbound on mile marker number 215. That's going to be the Bradley Parkway interchange. 24 eastbound has had traffic backed up all afternoon. A crash earlier at mile marker number 62 has traffic very heavy and slow go through the Antioch area. And we also have a situation 24 eastbound at mile marker number 171. An overturned vehicle has traffic backed up for miles as you're headed out there towards Chattanooga. Foothills Mercantile Company creates unique handmade items like beautiful paintings from the Smoky Mountains. Log on, foothillsmercantilecompany.com. Charlie Sonia on time traffic.
My dad served in Vietnam, the 82nd Airborne Division. He never talked about it, and my mom knew not to ask. So Dad buried himself in work and self-medicated and would lose his temper sometimes. Loud noises would put him on edge. It got rough. So I finally said to him, "Dad, you gotta get help."
As a family member or friend, you may be the first to notice when a veteran you love has been going through changes. Things like withdrawing, drinking more, or increased anger could be a sign of a larger health concern, but help is available.
Dad finally went to VA for one-on-one and group therapy and got some really great tools to help him manage things. And I got my dad back.
Listen to hundreds of inspiring stories at MakeTheConnection.net. And learn how you can support the veterans in your life. Treatment works. Recovery is possible.
Bundling home and car insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? They may drop little hints like,
"Beautiful day out. Even more beautiful since we saved by bundling our home and car insurance with GEICO."
Or,
"Yard work is hard. Much harder than bundling with GEICO, which was easy."
Or it may be even subtler like,
"Speaking of burgers, we bundled our home and car insurance with GEICO and saved a bunch of money."
Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
I got to tell you something. It's kind of a self-embarrassing story. I'm just hanging out with my mom, and she's watching My 600-Pound Life.
Great show.
The woman was 670 pounds, and her boyfriend, I'm like, "No way. Looks like me."
The Afternoon Stretch. Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Sports Radio.
The Afternoon Stretch. Eventually, they'll have music beds for men.
Welcome back to the Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams. If you're watching the video feed, you'd happen to see that Bruno's figured out the invisibility spell, and he's not here. Oh, he figured it out.
No, he's getting excited for tonight.
Oh, he was doing laps.
He's getting excited. He is.
He was running around the building because it's game day and he feels it.
God, I'm pumped.
Energy dump.
What'd you do, 20 up and downs?
No, I did 5 miles. Just quick, you know, knock it out.
So tonight it's going to be Malik Willis getting the first cracks. He will be starting for the Titans tonight.
Wow. That's cool. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to see him play. What I want to see out of now, we can all go around and talk about Malik Willis. Try not to use your legs so much. Show us what you can do with your arm, you know? That's what I want to see. If you're getting collapsed in the pocket, I know he's going to desperately want to make a play. Sit in there and try and make a throw. That's what I would like to see that personally.
Let's go to the Cure Hotline, 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you. Jump in. Adam, up in Portland, Tennessee. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. So, a couple of them. Number one, I want to see our young corners because, there's a lot of hype coming from that position.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I want to see what they can do. I want to see Rashad Weaver, the young linebacker that got hurt beginning of last season. He looked like a game wrecker in the preseason last year, and then he was kind of forgotten about. So hopefully he picks up where he left off. Kind of curious of what you guys think of. I hear you talk a little bit about the offensive line. I'm nervous for that offensive line, man. And I'm surprised nobody brings up coaching ever. Like, it's not – I don't even know the coach's name. I know it's – you tell me and I would go, "Oh, yeah, that's right." But, like, when Mike Munchak would have an offensive line, he could draft guys in the sixth round – they'd be Pro Bowlers in 2 years. Like, it doesn't really matter who he had. He always had a good running game. It seemed like we had the most time in the world to throw the football. Even, I was a big Matt guy, but a lot of the time, Steve's offensive line bailed his butt out, but he hung onto the ball. He would wait for guys to get downfield or get open. And his line was always so good. So I'm kind of worried about these positions on the offensive line that y'all are talking about.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Adam. It's Keith Carter. That's your offensive line coach for the Titans, who, once again, I've heard from, I mean, like guys like Taylor Lewan. And,
he's been there for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he worked me out.
I mean, they're talking about how great of a job he's doing right now. Yeah. That's been, I don't know how long he's been. It's his 10th season coaching. I don't know if how long he's been with the Titans. I can't remember how long.
Now, you remember the Titans did draft an offensive lineman in the second round last year. Now, his name, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Radunz?
Raidens.
Yeah, we just
did that. That was one of the guys I mentioned.
Well, I mean, me and Ray are both on the same thing with names. Yeah, I'm glad Ray mentioned him.
Both of you on CTE. He's riddled in your brain. Yes.
I always have to think, Ray trained a lot more dangerous sport than I did, too. But Radunz is like, there's so much expectation when you're a second round guy, first round guy, but it really is a world of difference. The only second round guy I can really compare to is like Jordan Cunningham, and he had a great career, but it's not like he's going to be going in the Hall or not. Did I say Jordan Matthews? Sorry.
Yeah, Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Cunningham was supposed to be the next Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews, he didn't have a Hall of Fame career, but he played like
a long time.
He's just trying to find his role and be a clog for the team. You don't have to be, you know, coming out, earning the jobs really at all even yet. But we do need to see progress. Nate Davis was a first-round guy, and you can be raw, but we've seen progress with him, and that earns him the next contract's time.
Well, it's Dylan Radunz and Nicholas Petit-Ferree, that's the right tackle position where we're trying to find out is that who's going to be the right tackle. You got left guard, right tackle. And
left guard, right tackle, big unknowns.
Adam is right. I think there is there should be a healthy amount of fear of what's going on. What I would say is the benefit of this offensive line, I understand losing Saffold's huge. I understand the different problems you've had. When you got a guy like Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan who are vets, especially someone like Ben Jones.
At the two positions you need most. Center, left tackle.
Exactly. The blind side and getting the ball out is what you need. And I think that can create, and now I'm talking in your world here a lot, but I think I'm making sense on it. When you have those two guys that are up there that are so vet that you can bring these guys in that are young, and they're going to adapt and have a great tree to learn from, if that makes sense. They're going to have a great piece of information, a brain sitting there that has seen so much already. That's going to help these guys be young and
fit
in.
You have no idea. If you're a new left guard, and let's say you're beside a new center, a new tackle, or you haven't played beside them yet, or they're guys who are also new and unknown, the amount of anxiety is crazy. You're always second-guessing your decisions, your blocks. Like, because what's your job as an offensive lineman? Let's say we're just running an inside zone run play. I run up to the line, and I have like 10 seconds to mentally process everything.
Yeah.
I look at, is it 3-4, 4-3? Or is it a bare front? Or what kind of front is it? That's going to dictate my rules for blocking. All right, I figure out what kind of front it is. Now, some teams make calls with their O-line. Some teams don't. Some teams are like, you better know what to do because we're not making calls because the defense could learn them. So then it's like, oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Am I working with the right, with the center? Or am I working with the left tackle? Then I also have to identify linebacker. Are there any tendencies that show blitzes? Because the defense can blitz whenever they want, right? There's so much to it that if you're playing with new guys, right and left, the anxiety is through the roof. That's when you're always like, how can you jump off sides? That's why it happens, because you're mentally racing and you're uncertain. And then you're like, oh, what was the snap count? Then you jump on one.
Can I ask Bruno a question here?
Yeah.
When you tried out for the few NFL teams that you did, I'm pretty sure you went to these O-line meeting rooms, right?
And you're talking
You're talking to these vets. How do those conversations happen? Like, how do these guys, if they're like a vet that's been there for 8, 10 plus years, what is this conversation like to kind of get you up and ready so that not only to make sure that you're doing your job right, but also make sure that the O-line is in sync? What does that sound like if you're like a new guy on a team?
It's different for everybody, right? Some guys desperately need mentorship from a player. Some guys cannot go without it. But at the end of the day, Ryan Tannehill was right when he was talking about Malik Willis. It's not his job to mentor. It's not these older guys' jobs to mentor you. Mm-hmm. You have to get in the book for hours and learn it yourself or not get the job. That is simply it. So there is some added angst to it, but the people who earn the jobs are the people that rise to the anxiety of it. I'm not saying there aren't older guys that don't help out there, but there's a lot. It's not their job to help the young guys. It's your job to figure it out. And when they're out there, they want to succeed too, so they'll help you when you're out there, but you have to be prepared enough to earn that right. Yeah. So if they're putting Aaron Brewer out there, he's obviously shown enough to earn the trust to compete for the job, which says a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think this is something I was asked a question kind of similar to this, talking about the Titans wide receiver to quarterback connection, which, you know, Vrabel's came out and said that's the most important connection on the field. That's why I'm so much more higher on Treylon Burks, is because he has a guy like Ryan Tannehill throwing him the ball. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of veteran sense there that can calm a young receiver down.
If it was Kenny Pickett, we would be worried.
If it was Malik Willis throwing to Treylon Burks, you're like, whoa, this is, you know, these are two guys who are, like you're saying, they're going to question themselves.
Yes.
They're going to question themselves, and then they can't just follow the leader. They don't have a leader to follow. Well, Tannehill is that leader, and he is going to be Treylon Burks is going to be following the lead of Tannehill, and that's a good system to have. Same for the offensive line. You're going to have Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan as your leaders, and Nate Davis too, for that matter. So you have three pieces on this team that people are the right tackle, whoever's there, the left guard, whoever's there, they're going to be following along, and they're not going to be just out of the blue. These guys are going to make sure they're up to date on what's about to happen.
Absolutely, and I don't want to generalize every single O line, but for the most part, the guard positions are the easiest to learn. The tackle is tough because you have to watch for everything off the edge on top of blocking the most athletic guy on the field. Right. That's why left tackle gets paid all the money. Most of the time, centers are asked to take most of the mental load so that the quarterback can go through his progressions better, not have to worry about protection. Like for most offenses, when I was with Kyle was extremely smart. Kyle Shermer at Vanderbilt, extremely, extremely genius level guy. So he could handle that stuff. Every other place I've been, the centers are expected to set the fronts, set the protections, so that way the quarterback can run through his progressions better. You have left tackle and center down. That is so massive for the Titans' O-line. Then you just got to stick a guy in a left guard. And really, if you're a good enough center, I've gotten to the point where you walk up to the line, four down, left, 61's the mic. Hey, you're blocking this guy to this guy. Just tell him what to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And Ben Jones, I imagine.
Ben Jones has been a high-level performer, consistent, which is consistent is probably the most important O-line trait there is. Just super consistent. They, you know, that's a guy. If I'm Aaron Brewer, I'm playing beside Taylor Lewan and Ben Jones, I'm like, sweet.
I feel safe.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we need to run to a break. We'll jump on the Cure Hotline when we return. 615-844-5600.
Good afternoon. On the scene of a crash with injuries, 3300 block of Bell Road. Also another crash, 3600 block of Murfreesboro Road. 440 at the 65 southbound entrance ramp slowed because of a crash, and we've been having trouble all afternoon long on 24 as you're headed back through the Antioch area into Rutherford County. Foothills Mercantile Company creates unique handmade items from the Smoky Mountains. Beautiful painting, laser engraved bourbon barrel tops, and so much more. Log on, foothillsmercantile.com. I'm Charlie Sade, and that's On Time Traffic.
Kurt Busch will not race at Richmond this weekend after not being cleared by NASCAR Medical. And Kurt said, quote, "This week I pushed to get my heart rate and body in a race simulation environment, and it's clear I'm not ready to be back in the race car," end quote. This is the fourth race Kurt will miss, and Ty Gibbs will slide into the seat and drive the car in this weekend's Cup Series race. Kurt has concussion-like symptoms after a qualifying crash at Pocono. Speaking of that car, the number 45, that is, the Michael Jordan brand will be all over Ty's car for this weekend's Cup Series race at Richmond. Look for Air Jordan 11 on the 2311 racing machine with a white and black pattern and blue number 45 on the door, just like the sole of the shoe. The car is co-owned, of course, by NBA legend Michael Jordan. Noah Gragson is going Cup Series racing full-time in 2023 as the driver of the Petty GMS number 42 car. The multi-year deal was announced yesterday for the eight-time Xfinity Series winner. He joins teammate Eric Jones, who also inked an extension recently with the team, and that number 43 car. Noah has made 9 Cup Series starts this season, with his best finish coming in at 18th, and he has 3 Xfinity Series wins this season at Phoenix, Talladega, and Pocono. Cup Series projected playoff point standings 5-1. William Byron has 2 wins at number 5. Then you got Ryan Blaney, no wins. Joey Logano, 2 wins. Ross Chastain at number 2 has 2 wins. And the leader is Chase Elliott with 4. You're on the final lap.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
And Doug. Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Hey, Braves fan, it's time for baseball, and that means it's time to cheer on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, in the 2022 season. Attorney Klein Preston of the Klein Preston Law Group wants you to join him in cheering on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, for the start of the 2022 season. Here's to another amazing season for Braves country here on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio. Call in now to the Afternoon Stretch, 615-844-5600, and be the most talented person on the show.
Welcome back. The Afternoon Stretch, Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Final moment here of the first hour. I'm going to ask Reagan to hold till the top of the second hour. We'll get you in. At 5:25, we're going to have Darren Smith on. He's the pregame host for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk a little Chiefs football as well, because that's become a real topic of discussion on this show that I guess I'm the only one that believes in them at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Yeah. Well, it's not even that I don't believe in them. I'm a hater. Yeah, I'm praying on their downfall.
I'm kind of there with Bruno myself, so I can't.
I'd love to see the wheel get broken.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. If you want to jump in, though, we're talking a lot of football today. It's what we're doing. Of course, Titans-Baltimore happening tonight as well. Cure Hotline, 615-844-5600. We want you to jump in on it as well, because there's a ton. There's a ton about this. I mean, we're just talking about the first preseason game, which I understand some people are going to be like, I'm going to watch the first 2 drives and I'm done. You know, there's going to be people out there who do that. I'm looking at this like the Titans, their situation is these preseason games matter. You know, I think preseason is useless. This is a year that's very useful for the Tennessee Titans. So I think these games are going to be wildly important for how this team's going to shape up for the regular season.
That's why I'm hyped up for them. I genuinely believe they're going to be important, too. So it's going to be actually exciting to watch. Whereas, you know, years before, you know, injuries, more stable vets, not as interesting. These are going to be interesting games.
Absolutely. All right, first hour's in the books. Got a second hour coming up. Don't go anywhere.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing today that the Department of Justice has filed a motion to unseal limited information about the warrant used to search former President Trump's Florida residence. Garland says as part of DOJ protocol, he would not comment on the details of the warrant.
Faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department,
and of our democracy.
A judge in the filing ordered DOJ confer with Trump's lawyers and report back by 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on whether Trump opposes the motion to unseal. Sources familiar with the case tell ABC News that Trump received a subpoena in the spring for documents related to what Trump allegedly failed to turn over to federal investigators. New guidance when it comes to COVID-19, the CDC says if you've been exposed to the virus and you're unvaccinated, you no longer need to isolate at home. Unvaccinated people are now on par with vaccinated people, essentially eliminating isolation after COVID exposure. This is ABC News.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Lieutenant, can you tell us what happened today?
Our officers responded to a crash on I-40 westbound this morning. The driver of a pickup truck lost control of the vehicle, veered left, and went into a ditch.
911, what's your emergency?
We've been in a crash. Please send someone. My fiancé is hurt.
A front seat passenger was wearing a seatbelt. She survived without injury. The driver was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from the truck. He died at the scene.
Law enforcement writes tickets to save lives. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Dry rub wings are back at Slim Chickens. Fresh, fried, and full of flavor. Like smooth and kickin' cayenne ranch, zesty lemon pepper, or turn it up with new spicy Nashville hot. Try them today with a meal or feed your hungry crowd. But hurry, they're only back for a limited time. At Slim's, bold flavor is what we do. Download the Slim Chickens app to order and earn rewards.
It's a Bill King Show.
I told you this in 2010. This is about football. The other sports don't matter. I know that's offensive to some. I don't mean it to be. It's true. Whatever football decides, you have to follow. Period. You have no vote. You're not getting a seat at the table. Gonna do what you're told. Here's where we're going. Here's how we're gonna do it.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Okay, it's happening.
It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Stay calm.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Join the Afternoon Stretch now on the Cure Hotline. 615-844-5600. Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Second hour of the Afternoon Stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams. Coming to you live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. We always want you to get involved. The Cure Hotline, 615-844-5600. That's the number to jump in. As we have Titans taking on Ravens tonight, preseason game number one. It's not the first game, though. The first game technically, well, I guess the Hall of Fame game was the first game. But the first game tonight is the Patriots and Giants. You know, snooze fest. Who cares what's going on over there? Also, just because I want to mention it for all of our baseball fans out there, the Field of Dreams game is tonight. And I blame the MLB for picking two of the worst teams in the MLB to play, the Cubs and Reds. They shouldn't have picked them. They should have, you know, that game should be like a TBD. And they just kind of, as they get closer, like, okay, what's going to be the best matchup for you? Because you did the movie. You know, they did the movie side where it was Yankees and White Sox. They did that. Now it's, and I'm not saying it lost its luster. It's still cool. They do it in the cornfield, all that kind of stuff. But it is lost its luster just a little bit. And then it loses a lot when it's two teams that, yeah, they have a fan base that cares, but the game is meaningless. The game, who cares? Who cares who wins that game? So I think they should do a TBD as they bring it right up to maybe the month before and they can say, okay, it's going to be these two teams. And those two teams who have a good battle going or a good whatever, maybe it's a race, you know, Braves-Mets, something like that, and make it a game that means something, not, you know, Cubs versus the Reds, bottom feeder fighting bottom feeder right now. So
yeah, if it was Braves-Mets, I would consider watching. This is interesting. It's an interesting matchup, right?
Exactly. So that's, you know, it, Oakland Athletics taking on the Detroit Tigers. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of matchups that we have right now, and that just simply sucks. So I hate it that they're, you know, making this special game about two teams that just, you know, you care less about personally. Maybe you're a fan of them. That's fine. You can be a fan of them. But make it a game that's interesting. Bring us along with you. You know, that's what you got to do. And to me, it feels like the MLB is missing that by a mile right now. They're relying on the movie nostalgia to just bring people back in. I mean, the first time you could do that, Kevin Costner walks out and the teams walk out from the corn. That was cool. We all loved it. It was fun. But can't just rely on those laurels every single time. Like, it's the movie isn't a tradition. They're trying to make it a tradition.
You think there was one player out there that got scared? You know, cornfields, horror movies, children. Like, I would have been like, children if I was corn. Playing in the cornfield, I'd be like, this is awfully suspicious.
Well, the funny part is they had, you know, they did the thing where they walk him out and the cameraman's right behind him and they show it. But then they went to like this drone crane shot or whatever, and it was way up. And you see like the corn that they're walking through. It's like, you know, it's like 20 feet long on that, and then you see the whole line of players waiting to come on the road. It's like, oh, I just show that part.
Yeah. They should have just not done the
gotta
drone
frame
shot.
That out, man. We gotta make sure that's blocked out. We don't want to see that. Make it look like it's a whole cornfield back there. If you want to jump in the Cure Hotline wide open, 615-844-5600, we want to hear from you. Let's go to the phone lines. I know we were talking offensive line, and Bruno got into it, so I know Reagan was just foaming at the mouth. I appreciate you holding, Reagan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, but the comments coming are not a reflection of anybody that works at your station. They're just my individual thoughts of offensive line, which I've been in since, what, 1980? No, 78. So here it goes. You got one of the best left tackles. There's not 15 better left tackles in the league than Taylor Lewan. And at the end of the year, he was top 10. So that means he's one of the 10 best in the world. So you're set at left tackle. Left guard, really not going to go into. A lot of the films didn't show. I don't believe the starting left guard is on the roster. I think they'll pick somebody up who's a cap casualty at the end of the year, pick somebody up to start for a year. The center, Ben Jones, a warrior, just puts it all out there, knows what he's doing, but his body's starting to fall apart on him a little bit, and he fights his way through it. But he's not a top-level center. Good, not top level. We'll have to fight through a lot of injuries. Nate Davis, I read a breakdown of Nate from Cosell that he had. Nate's a good run blocker in the NFL. Good run blocker. But he was one of the worst guards in the NFL last year on pass protection. You go back and look, he gave up more sacks probably than most guards. Right tackle, Raiders, guys, if he was going to play, he would have played last year. The only reason they're saying there's a competition there was a simple fact that they had such a bad pick, the first round draft pick the year before, and they're just trying to cover. They're not going to get anything out of the 2 years ago first round draft pick, and Raiders is probably just going to be a swing guy, which is not bad, unless you think that he's a second round draft pick. If you draft somebody in the second round, they need to start for you. So basically, you got a rookie starting at right tackle, a good run blocker that works well with Ben Jones at right guard. That's acceptable. Left guard, you don't know what you're out. You're going to have to wait and see what sign. Because the film showed last year, the kid can't play at that size. He's going to have to do something. They're either going to have to move him into center where he can have help, or they're going to have to just keep him as a swing guy. So that's your breakdown of your offensive line. It's scary as hell.
Well, good luck. I think Ben Jones, yeah, there's going to be, you know, the older you are, more wear and tear, obviously. But you just can't operate on that mindset, right? Like, oh, this guy's old, he's going to get injured. Like, you just got to go, this is our guy, and we'll take the punches as we go, you know? Because nothing... everything with O-line, there's like, it's half of the people that are out there. Like, it's not going to go, exactly perfect. Look at the Cowboys. They always have the best preseason O-line, but it never goes the way you think, right? So right. I think the Titans got a better foundation than most at O-line to not have to, because everyone's going to be, if you take your approach, which is right, it's cautious, everyone should always be worried about the O-line. I think the Titans have a better situation than most in the league, though.
This is my biggest concern with the offensive line and the way they're set up. One, they need to protect Tannehill. He's a good athlete, but he's better in the pocket than screaming out there trying to throw the ball. The biggest concern is you got a foot in the ground, turn it downhill running back who's not going to be able to get a lot of push from the inside of his offensive line. His best block is his left tackle. So if you don't get a lot of push and he can't find a seam, he's going to have to bounce it. And I'm not seeing Derrick Henry really do good on bouncing stuff. Usually he hits it, breaks a tackle, and then outruns everybody. But he's not going to be a guy that's going to shake somebody. Christian McCaffrey at the line of scrimmage and make them miss. So that's my biggest concern with them. And you know as well as I do, they are some outstanding offensive linemen, starting NFL offensive linemen, who will be cut this year at the end of the count. You can pick those guys up, and they will know your offense within a week. So I think that that'll be something you'll see from the Titans. They'll bring a couple guys in. The good way to know how much confidence they have in their left guard is to know how much he plays. If they play him a lot, that means they're not worried about some backup or some rookie, you know, free agent just tearing him up. If they put him out there a lot to get him some reps, because he doesn't have a lot of NFL reps, he needs that. If they put him out there and give him a lot of reps, then they're confident in his play. But if they try to hide him, then they're not real confident. That's just the way I look at it. I'm concerned about it because you got a left tackle he's aging. He could play 3 or 4 more years, really good athlete. But if he has another injury, it could lead to problems. Ben Jones will fight as long as you put him on the field. But there's going to come a day he can't do it anymore. And then after that, if Nate Davis is your best offensive lineman, you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, 100%. The thing is with tonight, there could be an argument made where if he doesn't play a lot, that means they're confident in him too, right? Or that could be a takeaway. Like they want to save him for the season. So I don't. Each staff is different. I would say you're correct most of the time. Where like if they're playing him more, they want him. You know, they're confident enough in him and they expect him to play, so they want him to get the reps. But there's also argument to be made if he doesn't play a lot. Well, now they're just trying to save him. For our left guard specifically, he should play a lot tonight. He does need every rep. He needs every rep possible. From what I've seen in the few clips I've seen of him, this guy can't get enough reps. So he should play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the right tackle should. The rookie right tackle, what's his name out of Ohio State?
Nick Patape Faree.
Yeah, I would play him 80% of the reps. Just let's throw him in there, see what he could do.
Yeah.
Because he is their best chance of being a legitimate, you know, NFL starter.
I think that is your right tackle. I think that I said that when they drafted him. I think that's going to be your starting right tackle. He's prototypical size, strength, what you need, and moldable.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting because Tannehill and Derrick Henry could have great years and have very, very minimal numbers if we can't produce on the O-line.
So, absolutely. Hey, Reagan, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in, brother. Yeah, that's that's why they're having these preseason games, though. End of the day, that's why they're having them. They need them for that exact reason, is to try to figure out this offensive line and figure out. I mean, there's some questions on it. There's definitely some questions. He was a lot more bleaker on it on the outlook than I think you and I have been.
I think anyone who knows offensive linemen, you're bleak all the time. It's never perfect. So he's right, but I'm more of a glass half full type guy. That's just me. So I look at the Titans. I look at the Titans situation. It's better than most. You have a solid left tackle. You have a veteran center. Those are things some teams don't have.
Yeah.
So I think they're better off than most. Now, the second you start being the Cowboys and you're like, our offensive lineman is going to carry us to the Super Bowl, that's to be worried about because it never works out like that ever.
So I looked up some of the free agents that's available. O line only. Mm-hmm. You've got guys like Nate Solder. Yeah, I mean,
that'd be a big Titan move. Sign him.
Yeah, he's a swing tackle. I mean, he played left tackle, but he played right tackle a little bit for the Giants. You've got Brian Bulaga, who was an ex Green Bay Packer. I mean, he's about 33 years old right now. You also got Eric Fisher, who's with the Colts last year.
I thought he retired. Didn't he come out and retire?
I think so.
He came out and retired. He's good. He's done Chiefs, obviously. I mean, he's got, but yeah, I think he was one that came out retired. I mean, I agree with Reagan on what he was saying. I agree that there is a chance that you could see the left guard spot be not on the team right now. There is a chance that that's there. I do believe the right tackle is going to be Petit Ferrier.
Yeah.
That is who I believe for sure. And Raidens may end up being your left guard.
I haven't seen Eric Fisher announce a retirement, but I'm pretty sure Eric Fisher is more of a left tackle. And there is a difference between left and bringing in a guy and trying to get him to play right, because Taylor is the left.
I thought he retired. I could be wrong, because he was with the Colts this last year, right?
Yeah, he just didn't get re-signed.
Yeah, I think he got retired, though. I could be wrong.
I have not seen anything about him retiring.
I could be wrong. I reserved the right to be wrong.
What's new? You know?
Hey. Ouch. Friendly fire. Are we on the same team or not?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, okay.
We're like married.
Exactly. We're basically dating. Let's go to the Cure Hotline, 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you. Steve in Nashville. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. Hey, Martha Tate. Zach admitted he might be wrong on something. Y'all need to put that down.
That is a rare occurrence there, Steve, so I applaud you for that.
I'm sure your wife never tells you that. Hey, a random question that just popped in my mind. Bruno, did you play in the Music City Bowl? Did you ever play on that at Nissan Stadium?
Nope. I went there for that time Old Miss beat us down for whatever reason we played at Nissan, but that was the only time I've ever played at Nissan.
What? I don't know why I thought about this, but they always say that turf is bad, which blows my mind that a $1 billion company can't seem to get their turf in good shape. Did you experience that or notice?
Turf is like bad more than half of the time you play. I don't know. It's just what companies will do is they'll order turf. They say they got this new turf. It gets all messed up, but they're not at any obligation to fix it. There are a lot of bad fields out there that pros play on all the time. So yeah, if the players are outraged about it, nothing's ever going to happen. The fans won't care. They'll just be like, "Oh, we don't care. You're still playing on it." You know.
So, I would think you have that kind of investment players, you wouldn't want their knees to get blown out or have a play or somebody slips up or something, but I don't know. That's just an interesting part to me. I mean, I know TSU plays there some, but they're not getting that much play during the season, so it's just weird to me that they don't have a good surface. But, I just wondered about that, if you ever noticed it. Did you like playing on the new field turf, the non-grass stuff?
I did not care what I played on at all, Steve. It all was the same to me, man.
He was playing. I mean, you're also asking a guy who, when he started his camp with USFL, he was playing in tennis shoes. So
that was more of a protest. Yeah, that was. My coaches got really mad at me, and they were just out of cleets. They were out of cleats. They didn't give me cleats, and all my teammates were like, "Go to Dick's and buy cleats." I was like, "I'm not buying cleats for a league owned by Fox." So in protest, I practiced in tennis shoes the entire camp, and everyone was mad at me all the time. I was like, "I'm not doing it, so send me home or whatever." So eventually a teammate gave me cleats, which was nice of me.
I'm sure you had some good grip with tennis shoes on out there.
Oh, yeah, you know. My job wasn't to run off the ball like a madman. My job was to make sure everyone knew what they were doing, and I was really good at my job.
You're the leader. You're the man. All right, well, that's just a random question I had today.
So I am the man.
I don't like this. You start off with a shot at me, and then you're finishing this with he's the leader and he's the man. I don't like this, Steve. What is happening? Is this John Burton in Steve voice?
Yeah, this is John Burton right
now. Yeah. Nope. Put Bruno on the billboard headline.
There you go.
give it some good baseball breakdown.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll have that. We'll have a great breakdown tomorrow of the Field of Dreams game. We're going to have a lot of, different, just plays, and just we're going to go through every individual stat. We're going to talk about each individual war for each player. It's going to be tremendous.
I do have some breaking news here.
Oh.
Apparently, yeah. The Associated Press, do you want me to play the
I mean, nah. No, it's too late now. Nah. You started it.
It says the Associated Press reports that Deshaun Watson has proposed accepting an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine to avoid missing the entire season.
Nope, the NFL is not going to take it. They're going to take 12 and 10 or 20 mil. That's what I guarantee you. That's what they're doing. Deshaun Watson's trying to bargain.
He's like, you don't even need 20 million. And they're just like, nope, we don't. Just laughing all the way to the bank. All right, we need to run to a break. If you want to jump in, well, next segment, we have a guest on, so you're not going to be able to. We're going to have Darren Smith with Sports Radio 810. He's going to be talking some Kansas City Chiefs football when we come back here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. On the scene of a crash on State 65 northbound at mile marker number 76, that has traffic slow go in the Brentwood area. Also on the scene of another crash, 440 eastbound at Brightwood Avenue. Old Hickory Boulevard at Highway 100 slowed because of a crash in 65 northbound. Also seeing another crash on the north side of town as you're headed towards Vietnam Veterans Boulevard. Prince's Hot Chicken is now hiring at both locations. Catering services are available for all occasions. Order online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Charlie Sonny, and that's On Time Traffic.
Hey Nashville, Ray here. Many of us suffer with anxiety when going to the dentist. You guys need to go check out my amazing friends over at Bite Dentistry. Bite Dentistry is where my family goes for all our dental care. Their mission is to help patients breathe better, smile bigger, and live longer by offering a comprehensive selection of services and total dental care for every member of your family. Bite Dentistry is the only dentist in town trained and certified to offer the Vivos method that helps with people who grind their teeth at night or snore that causes sleep apnea. What's great about the Vivos methods is that it's provided for both kids and adults. They also work with a company called Guard Lab, which creates custom mouth guards, which are the same mouth guards used by professional football players. Located at 3212 West End Avenue, Suite 301, Nashville, you can set up an appointment by calling them at 615-866-2129. That's 615-866-2129. And follow them on social media and online at ByteDDS.com. Again, that's ByteDDS.com.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you.
Paid for by NHTSA.
The world champs are back. The Braves are out to defend their world championship. And behind Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Max Fried, and this loaded 2022 roster, a repeat is within reach.
There goes Ozzie. 2-2 on the way. Hit well. Deep center field. Might have ourselves a tie ball game. You betcha.
And we'll bring you every huge moment of the Braves 2022 season right here.
The Braves, live here on Nashville Sports Radio.
The Afternoon Stretch, the show endorsed by News Channel 5's John Burton.
Welcome back. The Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams, coming to you live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studios. Let's go to the Cure Hotline, where we have Darren Smith. He is host of The Ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810 out of Kansas City. And Darren, we've been talking a lot of Kansas City Chiefs football, just like I think a lot of different other radio shows, TV shows out there. First off, thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Oh, you're very welcome, man. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Now, what has been the vibe out of the training camp so far there for the Kansas City Chiefs? Obviously, no Tyreek Hill this year. That's been a huge part of it. What have you been seeing there from training camp?
We've been seeing the new set of wide receivers stepping up. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's making a name for himself with the Chiefs, making a lot of connections with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the second-round draft pick in Sky Moore, he's going to look good for Kansas City. And the addition of Marquez, Dodd, and Scanlon is going to be good for the Chiefs again. You know, from the Chiefs out this year, it's something that they haven't had over the last few seasons. They actually got big receivers and tall receivers that are also fast and can make plays underneath as well as stretch the field to go along with Mecole Hardman.
Now, you went right into it with the wide receiver side here. That's been a huge question mark with so many people. You look at Juju Smith-Schuster's background. Of course, he had his blowout year with Antonio Brown there with the Pittsburgh Steelers when that happened, but he kind of faded away. MVS has never really been thrusted into that role, and when he has, when he was with the Green Bay Packers and Davante Adams was out, we never really saw him thrive in any kind of way. When he was given those opportunities, are you seeing those guys taking steps forward? And right now, how would you delineate the wide receiver depth chart? Would you go Juju the one, or how would you run that?
You know, it's interesting because Andy Reid really doesn't get into specifics on who's the number one and number two. Basically, he kind of lets the play call and dictate it, and whoever's open will get the ball. But running in the first unit, if you just go off of a base offense, you've got Juju and MVS as the starting wide receivers, but so they're going to be wide receivers. You'll have Mecole in there as well. But to your point, though, I think one of the big differences, one of the big realities is the fact that Patrick was able to get those wide receivers to come down to Texas with him in the offseason to work on, to work on trying to build a rapport with those receivers. Because, look, if you bring Tyreek Hill back, you pretty much got the same type of offense where defenses and get the same problem that they had most of last year. Now that you traded Tyreek and you got all these assets, now you really don't know how to defend Kansas City. So you have to hit them with a base defense when you first come out in Arizona, and then you have to kind of pick your poison because you really won't know who to double outside of Travis Kelce. So if you double Travis, then obviously it's going to be the wide receiver or running back open, and then it's going to go to the receiver and Patrick puts the ball in between the numbers, and they'll be able to make sure that they make the plays.
We're talking with Darren Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at DarrenSmithWHB. Now, obviously when you look around the AFC West, and really just the NFL as a whole, I want to say at this point, but we'll keep it with the AFC as a whole. Everybody who's near the top rankings or in the AFC West has been gunning to reach the Chiefs, try to catch up to the Chiefs because they have been the powerhouse over the last few years. Where are you at when you look at the teams building up defense like they have in the AFC West just to stop Patrick Mahomes? Do you feel like they've done enough, or is it just going to be more Chiefs going down the future where they're just going to be able to keep finding wins against these teams like they have in the past years?
I'm someone who really don't like to play both sides, but if you stop and think about it, Kansas City, they do have the best quarterback, they have the best head coach, and they have the best tight end. However, all the other teams, I still believe, have made upgrades all the way around. If you look at the Los Angeles Chargers, and that's where a lot of people are thinking that could be the team to knock the Chiefs out of the top spot. Obviously, they kept Austin Eckler, they kept Mike Evans, they kept the other one, Mike Williams. And but when you look at what they did on defense, you had a defensive player of the year, and Khalil Mack traded for him to go alongside Joey Bosa. I mean, they can't do anything but help the defense either. So this is going to be a make or break year for Justin Herbert, because this is third year and he has yet to make the playoffs. So they got a lot to play for. And then you look at the Denver Broncos. You add Russell Wilson. They already had a pretty good defense, but they didn't have a really good quarterback. Now you got him. You put him with Jerry Jeudy. You got some depth at the running back position with the Melvin Gordon. So they can also cause some trouble in the AFC West, even with the Raiders. I know a lot of people poo-poo the Raiders, but think about it. The Raiders made the playoffs anyway, in spite of the fact of what happened with the head coach, Darren Root. And then you add Davante Adams back, you add the best wide receiver of football to that offense. That can only mean that they should be, on paper, at least be better than what they were before.
I agree with you on that. I mean, there's a lot of you look at it on paper. When you look at the AFC West on paper, you can say that, look, the Chiefs have been more of a negative storyline, and the rest of the AFC West seem to be more on a positive storyline. Do you feel that the Chiefs, I mean, is it just business as usual as it's been out there so far for them?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I wouldn't say business as usual because they know that they have a lot to prove. You know, you see the second, if you remember watching the second half collapse against Cincinnati, they have a lot to prove. And, again, with the changes that they made, there's a lot of changes even on the defensive side of football. You bring Justin Reed in and place a Tyron Matthews. I mean, there's a lot that Kansas City has to prove to themselves, let alone the fans here.
Now, when you're looking, and we're speaking with Darren Smith right now, host of The Ship with Darren Smith over on Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. When you're looking at the Chiefs this season, what is one thing that sticks out to you that might be the biggest shock of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs?
That schedule. That schedule's salacious. I mean, if you look at it, I think in November, just November alone, I mean, they're going to be going up against Buffalo, they're going to be going up against the Chargers.
Right,
we got the Bengals. Yeah.
Hold on, you cut out there for just a second there, Darren.
I'm sorry. I said that, you know, there's a stretch in November where I think they play the Bills, they play the Chargers in L.A., then you come home and you play the Rams at home right after Thanksgiving. Then the following week, you got the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, they have a hellacious schedule. So I would just say, when you look at the schedule, Kansas City can't afford to go 3-4 like they did last year. You go 3-4 this year, there's no way that you turn that around when the AFC West can win the division and having the chance to host the AFC Championship for the 50 in a row.
We're talking with Darren Smith. Ray Dosky, say hello to Darren Smith.
Hey, Darren, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Ray?
Not much. I'm just excited. Football's back. I got a question for you. So last year, the last few seasons in Kansas City, there's always been questions, Mark, about the whole running back situation there. Last year, you guys rushed, I think, a little under 2,000 yards, brought you about the middle of the league. They made a big adjustment this year, signing Ronald Jones into that backfield. Do you believe the rushing attack will be better this year compared to last year?
Yes. The Chiefs drafted a rookie, I think, in the 6th, 7th round, Isaiah Pacheco. Looking at him physically, he looks like a slimmer version, but a big version of Kareem Hunt. And he's been taking a lot of risks with the number one team as well. So I think, and to be honest, Ronald Jones is actually beneath him on the depth chart going into Chicago's game this Saturday, the first preseason game. So I think the Chiefs will be good at running back. I think, there's nothing wrong with having a depth because Ryan was a little hesitant, kind of injury prone over the last 2 seasons. And even for him, this year is a make break year for him. So the fact you bring in Jake McKinnon back, you got Ronald Gore, you draft another running back, 2 years after you take part of the win in the first round, there's a lot of depth in the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are really high on the rookie as well. So I think the running game is going to be good, but obviously everything starts in Patrick Mahomes.
Darren, I appreciate you coming on, my man. We really appreciate it. Wanted to get some Kansas City love on the show here in Nashville, Tennessee. You go follow him on Twitter at Darren Smith WHB. Thank you so much, my man.
Anytime. Let's do this again when we host the Titans and we beat you this time around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens then. We'll definitely reach back out, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, take care.
Darren Smith been our guest talking some Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about it yesterday, obviously. There is a ton about that AFC West. I said at the beginning of the season, we're looking at a situation where I think your Super Bowl comes out of the AFC West. I think whoever your Super Bowl champion is coming out of the AFC West. If that, whatever that prop bet looks like, that's what I'm taking.
And the thing about Kansas City is we were talking about the Titans O-line for majority of the first hour. They have a similar thing with their O-linemen, except, the money thing isn't, but they have a solid left tackle in Orlando Brown Jr. that they can rely on, and they have Creed Humphreys, another solid, center. Now they have their own Nate Davis in Trey Smith. A lot of Tennessee people remember Trey Smith. I think Trey Smith's going to be penciled as the right guard. They stole him in the 6th round. Right tackle's kind of their iffy right now. Andrew Wiley has been in the league for a while. He's been on their team for a while, but he's going to stick with their right tackle. So their right tackle, like the Titans, is a question mark. The only difference they really have from offensive lineman comparison is the left guard they have, Joe Thuney. I believe. Yeah. He played on the tail end of that Patriots dynasty, so they have a veteran at left guard. But other than that, they're like identical with the Titans O-line situation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big difference between the Chiefs and the Titans, though, is they don't have a monster division. You know, that's one thing. Offensive line, yeah, they do, and same quarterback play, basically, right?
I think it is. No. It's two veterans, if that's really the only play you could describe them in the same sense.
Yeah. But they both played multiple years in the NFL. That's the equal line.
I think you had a great point where the Chiefs have a lot to prove. You know, that second half was absolute disaster dumpster fire last season. So, you know, what better?
Well, that was the last taste we had of Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Was so, that just crumbling?
Yeah. Oh, more than the Kansas City Chiefs have proven they'll rise to the occasion more often than not. So that's another. They didn't rise to the Super Bowl occasion, but I think they'll rise to the occasion of proving people wrong since they're on the downtrend preseason wise for whatever that's worth.
Storyline wise,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Storyline wise, I think that's what I was saying.
And I bought into it. Chiefs will be finished fourth, and Patrick Mahomes' dynasty will be over. But
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
He's 1 year. He gets so you give Mike Vrabel 1 year of bad play for the Titans, and you're like, you can't fire him. But if Patrick Mahomes has one bad year this year, you're like, he's done.
If he
has
a bad first game, they should cut him.
Just, yeah. And then the Titans should pick him up?
Yeah.
I mean, just as like a backup for Malik Willis. Like, yeah, run four quarterbacks, and then that's, you know, that's what you should do.
I think that's what should go down right now.
Yeah, that's a fair way of playing it. I do wonder what's going to happen. I mean, I imagine Chiefs fans out there right now they have to be somewhat timid to the season coming up. I mean, he mentioned the schedule. The schedule's rough.
No, because Chiefs fans are delusional. I mean, have you ever
think so?
Yeah, have you ever met someone from Kansas City? They think they're going to the ship every year.
Now, see, this one feels like it's an attack.
Yeah, it is. Listen, the people of Kansas City are some of the nicest people in the world.
I loved Missouri.
Yeah, I loved Missouri in general. But I also was with the Chiefs for like 2.5 weeks, and people were buying me Mexican food, and they were just having conversations. They were just like, "Here, big guy, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm here trying out for the Chiefs." They were like, "Oh, that's awesome." You know, so they were super cool. And they're also
Red Nation.
Just delusional, which is fine. There's nothing wrong being delusional.
Well, you got to be a fan of something, you know. Yes, and absolutely. Being a fan means you're a fanatic, and being a fanatic means you're kind of crazy.
Yes.
So exactly. Every fan is delusional in some
way. So when their bubble gets burst this season, I'll just think like it's. I don't wish wrong or ill on them. I just think it'll be funny.
Okay, but if I'm looking into the future, blah 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 blah, blah ying, you know, I'm hearing everything is happening, and I see what do I see in my crystal ball? Ooh, blah 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 blah. Oh, Bruno Reagan's crying because the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl once again.
Oh no, when the Bills and the Chiefs are playing the AFC Championship again, like yeah, I'm just gonna be. Last year was a great game. Does the status quo just uninterest me? I love it when it's chaos every single year, like when there's a shakeup. Like the Titans.
No, game. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you but want
I know,
that.
I know the Bills and the Chiefs will play in the AFC Championship this year. That's just what's going to happen. So
It does kind of feel that way.
So you don't believe like, that there's any uneasiness with the Chiefs fans compared to like the Titans fans here?
Titans fans have...
The reason why I say that, if you hear me out, just let me... Because you see the division. They really stacked up in the AFC West. In terms of free agents, draft picks, what have you. In the AFC South... It's just the Colts and Titans. We've seen the additions that the Jaguars made. The Texans, we all know they're in a rebuilding year. Not as much question, but still, we've all talked about it. That Super Bowl window slowly closing, as opposed to yes, Chiefs got the best coach, best tight end, best quarterback in the league, arguably, right? But you feel like the Chiefs fans feel like it's Super Bowl bust every year for them because they have those three, the trifecta there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like if you're a Chiefs fan, you expect it. You know, like
the storyline with Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago was, is he going to catch Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Now we know it's already looking like it can't happen, but...
Yeah, why is it that people just say it can't happen? Tom Brady's played how many years? Like, if Patrick Mahomes plays that many years, he has a chance of still winning 6 Super Bowl rings.
I think that's just...
Seven, whatever it is now. Yeah.
I think that's just an extremely ridiculous expectation to put on.
It is. Yeah. You know, like, first off, it is. Tom Brady is a ginormous outlier in the world of football. I mean,
in the world of any sports. Him and Bill Russell, they're the only equals.
Exactly. That's the only ones you can come out and talk about together. But I think that...
He's been to 2 Super Bowls. Mahomes has.
He's been already. To 2, and I mean, you look at... He's been to the AFC Championship, 4 years in a row now?
Yeah.
2 for 2 on those, and you know, had a crazy second half in that last one against the Bengals.
Could have been 3 for 3.
Could have been. Yeah. So, you know, the Chiefs are there. And look, it's not just Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is obviously a big part of it. But what Andy Reid is doing is a big part of this. Andy Reid finally got a quarterback that he needed, and that just happened to be Patrick Mahomes. This is a situation where, you know, the it wasn't the square peg going into the round hole. This is now the square peg going into the square hole. You know, that's just the situation. You don't get that a lot in the NFL. You don't get a situation where you have a, like for the Titans, you don't get a situation where you have a head coach and a GM that are so intertwined together like the Tennessee Titans have with Vrabel and John Robinson. That stuff is just, it doesn't happen every year. Doesn't happen every season. Doesn't happen every era of team.
I've heard horror stories of coaches and GMs hating each other's guts.
Exactly.
I know a very personal story of one of those. Just two people, like, you would, like, how does this even happen?
Yeah.
How does this, how do you hire these people that hate each other so much? Happens all the time.
And this is one of those situations when talent meets opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. You get a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think, once again, Bruno's is out of pure anarchy. That's what Bruno wants.
Yeah, I know we're up to a break here, but I just want to just throw this out there. Maybe we can think about it during the break. We can answer when we come back on. Now, we all see that they all trust Andy Reid, right? In terms of coaching, like, no doubt. Mike Vrabel himself, where do you rank him a coach? He's probably one of the better ones, probably top echelon, top 10.
One coach of the year last year.
Do you believe that the Titans fans should start believing in him about the success he's brought the last few years in Nashville?
I've been kind of advocating because, for it. Like, if Andy Reid had a bad season, everyone would be like, hey, he's look at what he's
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've been advocating for Vrabel to start taking a step towards that. Like, look at what he's done with the Titans franchise. Things have never been done before on a consistent basis. So, you know, got to give him time.
If the Titans, not there yet. If the Titans had a bad season this year, nobody should call for John Robinson. I mean, people, idiots are, but realistically, there's no shot Vrabel and John Robinson are fired. It's the same thing with Andy Reid. Andy Reid, if the Chiefs do have a bad year this year, let's just say they do, nobody's going to say we need to trade Mahomes, we need to get rid of Andy Reid, and we need to rebuild everything. You don't need to. And really, the real side of it is they're not going to need to rebuild anything. They have a good team. Go ahead, Ray.
No, you make sense, because you look at two teams that lost their star wide receivers. But no one's questioning Andy Reid. Everyone still has trust in him. Mm-hmm. But when you look, when A.J. Brown was traded to the Eagles, everyone's like, oh, our season's up. Oh, we're done. You saw the season sound down. And I'm like, okay, do you not trust Vrabel and that John Robinson team of possibly keeping this team a competitive team year in, year out with the loss of A.J. Brown now?
Yeah, well, once again, I think idiots are doing that. You know, there's just morons. I mean, stupid. And look, hey, I think Titans Twitter are a bunch of idiots. I think they're all morons out there. So I've been on record saying that many times. So, I mean, that whole rhetoric, I'm not worried about seeing, you know, the few, or, and don't even get me into Titans Facebook. That's a whole other realm of just depravity that I don't even want to be a part of. So, I hear people say that, but I don't think they really believe it. I think they're just the reactionary gut, I don't like this and I'm scared, what do we do? Fix it. You know, that's where they're at.
Yeah. I mean, I just know what's going to happen. Creed Humphrey had a fluke season, not a top 32 center in the NFL at all. Orlando Brown Jr., bust. Patrick Mahomes, the era's over. Travis Kelce, he's not even better than George Kittle. I mean, the era's dead. Miracle Hardman couldn't sniff Tyreek Hill. It's just not there, you know. I'm looking at 0-17.
They might as well just sell the franchise, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. 0-17.
Move them. What's a good place to move the Chiefs? Probably like Montana or somewhere like that.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
Clarksville Chiefs. Is that what it is? CC? Yeah. You know, that's perfect.
It goes real well.
Yes, so that's what it is. Oh, and by the way, hire Bruno.
I don't want to have any real responsibility, but pay me.
All right, we need to run to a break, but before we do, the NFL Week 1 odds are out, and now's the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on the action early this season. Right now, new FanDuel Sportsbook customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, and we've talked about it. We've been talking about it all week long, and now you got Week 1, obviously, that is here now for the preseason. You can look at all of this going on right now and look at some of the different things. If you're talking about futures, we're looking at, like, can the Rams repeat at 1,100? I personally don't like that. Repeating is a different animal all in itself.
Yep.
But you can look at something like Titans win total. I like that Titans win total. I like the under of Derrick Henry's yards, his season average yards for the future of his yards. I don't know if he's going to be able to get over that 1,350 number there. So it's a scary place to go. That's where I'm looking at when I'm looking at these futures. Just sign up using promo code TAS, the afternoon stretch. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using our promo code TAS, the afternoon stretch, TAS, to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TAS. Got to be 21 and up and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Good afternoon. Accident with injuries. Interstate 40 westbound at mile marker number 203. That's going to be right there between Briley Parkway and Charlotte Pike. Also 65 northbound at mile marker number 76. That's going to be near Old Hickory Boulevard and Harding Place. 440 eastbound at Briwood Avenue. Also slowed because of a crash. Still seeing some very heavy volume out there along Interstate 24 from a crash that we had earlier this afternoon. Foothills Mercantile Company creates unique handmade items from the Smoky Mountains. Beautiful painting, laser engraved bourbon barrel tops, and so much more. Log on foothillsmercantile.com. Charlie Sonia on time.
Nashville's first curling venue is here at T-Line Nashville. Come check out T-Line Nashville and experience the world's fastest growing winter sport today. Curling is a fun and simple sport that's a perfect outing for friends, corporate events, families, or parties. T-Line also has classic bowling and modern bowling mini games. With over 20 HD TVs, you can come watch your favorite teams and some of the best food and drinks here in Nashville in the large bar and grill area. They also have an outdoor area with a fire pit, and you can't forget the live music. T-Line Nashville is a one-stop shop for a great night out. Located at 106 Duluth Avenue and online at tlinenash.com, you can book your party now or give them a call at 615-439-1024. That's 615-439-1024. And make sure you give them a follow on Instagram and Facebook at T-Line Nash for all the news, events, and updates. T-Line Nashville, Nashville's first curling venue, is here.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so that was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
I've been hearing Dynavite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And, all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dynavite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the Dynavite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dynavite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
Lieutenant, can you tell us what happened today?
Our officers responded to a crash on I-40 westbound this morning. The driver of a pickup truck lost control of the vehicle, veered left, and went into a ditch.
911, what's your emergency?
We've been in a crash. Please send someone. My fiancé is hurt.
A front seat passenger was wearing a seatbelt. She survived without injury. The driver was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from the truck. He died at the scene.
Law enforcement writes tickets to save lives. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Five-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan Forecast. For this afternoon, there's a chance of a scattered thunderstorm with a partly sunny sky. High upper 80s, light northerly winds. Partly cloudy tonight, low 69, sunny tomorrow Friday, high 87. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The afternoon stretch. The best show.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that, man. I'm going to move on to the next one. Welcome back to the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams. All right, what's our prediction for tonight? Baltimore, Titans.
I think the over-under is somewhere around early 30s. Probably goes over. I'll say 28-14, Ravens over Titans, but it doesn't matter. I think, you know, Malik Willis probably get one TD out of his drives, but for the most part, you're going to see him, quote-unquote, struggle. The thing is they're not going to call plays to win, and that doesn't sound right. They are always calling plays to win, but they're going to want to see certain packages, formations, and they're going to opt in over that rather than optimal play calling in the red zone or something. They'll be like, well, this is our last drive with Malik. Might as well just see what this play looks like, even though it's not a good call from 20 yards. You know, it's a play meant for a first down or something like that. So whereas the Ravens, it seems like they're playing to win every single first preseason game. So So I'm just going to have it 24.
Lamar Jackson's just out there 24, the whole game.
24 or 28 to 14 Ravens over
there. Is he playing tonight?
I doubt it.
I think most of the Ravens stars are not.
Titans are the underdogs. 3.5 points is the spread. The over-under is 32.5.
Ravens are also 12-1 against the spread on the first game. So that's pretty nuts also.
This is what a weird stat to have in this preseason.
Greg, it's just how it goes.
What do you think?
I think that the Titans will win. Titans will lose.
They're
their
due.
First playoff.
They're due, baby.
Their first preseason game and since the 1920s. I think they win 20-17.
Yeah. I think I'm on board with you, Ray. Yeah. I'm on board and I'm right now on code TAS on FanDuel. I'm dropping a sweet little 5 spot.
Yeah.
Just not a lot, but it's plus 145 money on Titans money line.
All right. I'll and drop 5 also.
Yeah, why not?
500.
Whoa.
Preseason game.
Just a little hit here, you know, just a little taste, just a let's wet the beak a little bit here, huh? You know, let's wet the beak out of there a little bit.
It's like you're like it's like you before dinner you go out to a little beer bar and you're just taking little sips, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cuz you know, the Titans are going to let this is my thing. I think the Titans are going to win because once again they have so much more their depth pieces. Like
the guys have so much more to play for.
They have so much more to play for. They have so much more to play for, and they can there is not locked in spots there. Yeah.
But sometimes that brings angst where they're trying too hard.
They better not be. They better not be. You better be angstless.
Yes, sir.
Unless you're going to get all the smoke.
If that was me out there, I would have caught that pass.
Idiot. You're trash, kid. You know, like, yeah. just all the guys sitting at home eating their nachos, just thinking they could do what these star athletes are doing.
Absolutely.
They couldn't even play JV in their high school game. Ray, you got some current event you want us to show here.
Yeah, so earlier today, the NFL Network was at Cincinnati Bengals training camp, and they had Evan McPherson. We all know who he is.
Shooter.
Mr. Automatic. Yes, sir.
Shooter. One of the best mic'd up clips of all time.
Yeah, I love that.
And they had a cool segment where they were talking about, like, do you think field goal kickers should have a walkout song when going for the game winner? And this is what the dialogue happened. It was really interesting.
I love this
Shooter.
So far.
Do you think kickers should have a walk-out song as they go out to kick the game-winning field goal? And if they let you, what would your song be?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great idea. Just like in baseball, I think they should kind of implement it in football because I think it could bring a whole new level of excitement to the game-winning field goal. With what song I would want mine to be?
What do you feel?
I think I'm going to have to go back to my Super Bowl days, pick an artist from there, and I'm going to go with Without Me by Eminem.
All right. All right.
So,
guess who's back?
Back again.
Yeah, look at you.
God, yeah, it's
that's
like,
a lame answer.
No,
what a
I know.
Stupid song
you get a nickname like Shooter. You would think he's cool. You can tell he's just like every other kicker, a dweeb.
Yeah, that I understand now what you're talking about.
See, they're all the same, dude.
If you're the kicker, what's your walkout song?
A tremendous idea. I love this idea. That actually should be what they do because the walkout songs should not just be for baseball only. I love the idea.
If they do that, no more ice than the kicker is allowed. Just one time. You know, let them walk out.
I already know what mine would be.
What would yours be?
Jay-Z, let me introduce myself. Let me introduce myself. My name is...
I'm picking Barbie Girl.
Barbie Girl.
I'm a Barbie Girl. Everybody just
goes
crazy.
That's your song for everything.
Or Shark...
No.
Baby Shark. Baby Shark. Because you got to get something that everybody's going to clap with and be like hyped up when they hear
it. You'll get the
like,
kids involved. You'll get the kids hyped.
See, and that's what you want.
I'd probably do
business mind.
Probably do We Don't Talk About Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno. No.
I told you, whenever I would go on like planes or something, I would always have my Vandy backpack and it'd have Bruno Reagan, and like kids would be like,
"We don't talk about you."
I mean, they would that's the best part about kids too. They're not mad, so they will point at you.
They'll
stare at you. It's hilarious.
That's good really because big. We miss the gig. We don't talk about Bruno.
You're really big. Mom, why is he so much bigger than everyone else? He's really wide. Just kids will insult you without even like.
Yeah,
they have no idea. Yeah. Why does your breath smell like a farm? Like what? Just why'd you
say
that?
Personally, I love it. I love it.
Personally, I would let that happen to me.
Yeah.
No Braves games tonight, but we got one tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's going to
be
our show. It's going to be Friday tomorrow, by the way.
I know.
That's crazy.
We had a solid week.
Solid week so far. Half a show pretty much tomorrow due to Braves baseball. I believe they're taking on the Marlins is who they have tomorrow. Miami. Are they still in Miami Marlins? I feel like the Florida Marlins, what the change was. Yeah. What a tremendous logo that was, too, with the big Marlin and everything. Anyway, I'm rambling now as we're finishing up. I appreciate everybody who's called in, commented in, watched in, however you did. Appreciate Darren Smith jumping on with us from Sports Radio 810. And remember, nobody's told you I love you and you matter. Have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about a Titans win and how Zach and Bruno got a little bit richer over the night, too. Have a great night, everyone.